Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Tomorrow is Christmas. Can the celebration of Christmas bring us together, despite our differences? Let's go in-depth with Mark Putnam, president of Central College. Mark, like the rest of us, I bet you're thinking about Christmas, aren't you?
I am. It's a great time for those of us, particularly in higher education, because it's one of those rare times when we have a chance for a bit of rest and reflection. And so someone who's been in higher ed 30 years, as is the case for me, I've gotten into certain patterns or cycles. And the very deep part of summer is one of those times when I can take a bit of time away and be quieter. And the same is true over the Christmas holidays. That is, for many, many years, been an opportunity for me to read and to write and to think. And it is a real good opportunity for renewal.
And you've been thinking about transitions, life's transitions with relationship to Christmas, haven't you?
I have been. When I reflect on it, I do think in terms of the context of my own life, because I think that these last several decades have changed the way we think about Christmas in pretty substantive ways. That is to say, there's the sentimentality that I think still is part of it. Those who bring a Christian perspective to it would be reminded of Jesus' birth and all of the things that attend that in terms of faith and devotion. But for others, I think there is the sentimentality of giving and the warmth of family. What may be different now as we imagine the transitions that society is going through would be things that have not just commercialized Christmas, which I think is true, and we've talked about that for many years, but it's a commodification of it at some level. And as I am thinking about the meaning of holidays, we begin to feel the press of things like stores being open on Thanksgiving that somehow redefines what those inherent values are. I think for many people, the reaction to that is to say, how far will we go? And to me, that question of how far will we go is the biggest question for me this Christmas. We have examples in our political culture where billions of dollars were spent on campaigns, and we come out of them asking the question, how far will we go in having campaigns that virtually defame candidates of either party or even of minority parties? We ask the question as we approach things like the broader environment, or where we have questions that are really important societal questions that bear in our thinking recently about what is the role of firearms in society and where and how are they appropriate. And the question comes again, how far will we go? And so with Christmas for me, it is the reinsertion of a value structure or a way of thinking that humanizes us. And that perhaps for me over the course of the fall has been the biggest observation. Are we dehumanizing by getting so caught up in the machinery of society or historic patterns of communication where one group will automatically finish the sentences of others, or where power untempered can overcome reason? To me, those are really important questions to ponder. The Christmas aspect of it is the renewal of a deeper understanding of meaning. And so for me, this Christmas, when I think about how society is transitioning, that's a lot of where my thinking will go.
Well, that's different thinking from a whole lot of people I know. Most of us are thinking about what presents we're going to buy for of a certain age. We care less about which ones we're going to get. We care more about which ones we're going to get when we're younger. Mm-hmm. We care about giving when we're older, and pulling together the money to pull it off, and are they going to be happy? And that's what we tend to think about. Yeah. Most of us don't think about the deeper meanings, both with respect to the reason for the holiday, and then with respect to society at large, like you're doing.
Yeah, and it may be time of life. You know, our daughters are one finishing college and one well into high school, and so there is, and we don't have grandkids at this stage. So there is also the aspect of our immediate universe not having the very young children that create a different energy around Christmas. So that may be part of where my own heart and mind happen to be right now. But as a college president, I'm so mindful of the becoming process of students and what they're entering and how we are preparing them for that future, that something that is as iconic as Christmas in a societal framework says something really, really important. And, you know, you think about families who have experienced tragedy, which we've been thinking about with Newtown, Connecticut recently, or families in great need who are struggling, that sort of sentimental view of Christmas is a bit of a construct. If you really think about the origins of what we declare in relationship to Christmas, because if you take the narrative of Jesus' birth, this was not an idyllic circumstance. This was a young woman, seemingly with child, out of wedlock, who should have been stoned, in an environment where she's caused to travel extensively beyond what would be reasonable for someone who is as pregnant as she was, and to be homeless, essentially. And so if you say, I have this homeless couple who have arrived in town, the mother's about to give birth, they're not married, and we don't know what to do with them, most of society would reject that. We would set them aside. Yet this contrast exists of us building nativity scenes, whether it's in church yards or in the yards of our homes or in displays inside of our homes. We sentimentalize that, but forget what it actually says. A homeless couple, pregnant, seemingly out of wedlock, rejected by society, gave birth to hope. And if we don't find a way to reconnect to that narrative, then the things I look at as the transitions of society, where we ask the question, how far will we go before we pull back and say, is this consistent with our values or is it not? That, to me, draws the Christmas conversation to a different level. So, believe me, I want to have fun. I plan to eat well, and to enjoy family, and to share in giving, and to appreciate all that is present there. But because Christmas has always been a time for me of reading and reflection and writing, it does bring me to a place of asking some deeper questions that I think are worthy of us, that it's something we should draw out of each other, not to be a downer or to be discouraging, but to draw us to something that is hopeful about the Christmases of tomorrow.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about Christmas with Mark Putnam, president of Central College. When you say, how far will we go? I'm hearing this as how far will we go along a variety of dimensions, but especially with respect to, I don't know, pulling society apart. You mentioned political structures. How far will we go to pull each other apart? If we're thoughtful about the Christmas and that origin story that you just gave, maybe that's pulling us back together. Is that what you're saying?
I think there's an element. It could. There's an element of that story if we embrace its authentic view. You know, if we see it through the eyes of reality for that moment and what it meant, not what we have turned it into, but really see it for what it is, then I think we have an opportunity to look at ourselves in a way that can be very, very beneficial. And so what you would hope is that Christmas could draw us to a place that often tragedy does. The world pulls around a young girl who is shot seeking to advance her educational interests, and is evacuated to the U.S. for treatment. We rally around that cry for freedom and that sense of opportunity and the need for education and advancing society. We pull together when buildings tumble because of a terrorist act. We pull together when there is a hurricane that devastates a region. We pull together when violence overcomes the peace we seek on earth. Absent a tragedy, is it possible for us to change the nature of the conversation in the U.S. by saying that the spirit of Christmas, which Dickens captured in the way he portrayed a personal transformation of Ebenezer Scrooge, is it possible for us to pick up that narrative again and do this not because we are forced to, but because we get to?
But we have to be thoughtful about it and think about it and think about that context, not just the gift exchange, right?
That's right. So I think
the eating and the merrymaking,
which is all part of it. I mean, it should be present to it. But what I think can happen is that we can foster in each other as we relate within families, churches, communities, of extending something that is deeper. You know, if you think about the phrases of Christmas that we pull forward, you know, we talk about the voice of one crying in the wilderness. We talk about, you know, the declaration of a prophet who is expressing hope in something that is beyond. And that conversation, which is truthfully, if you were to take the words of many of the Christmas carols we sing and just put them on paper in text form, you would see things like, be born in us today. You know, come faithful ones, bringing good tidings. There's so much of this that has the possibility of causing us to reach deeper inside ourselves and find an anchor that will do something more profound to help us reclaim values about humanity and goodness and giving back and being a part of a story that is bigger than my own little needs and interests and world, or the claims I want to make, or the policies I want to assert, or the traditions I want to uphold. It's going to take that kind of a rebuilding of a cultural narrative that will help us to find it. And it's not about reclaiming the past, because we can't go back to Leave It to Beaver Street. That's not what I'm saying. It's kind of an Americana that is interesting to watch on you know, MeTV or TV Land or some of these things where we see the old shows. But something that is truthfully about the future and about how communities can be formed and nurtured and developed in ways that will elevate the discourse of humanity, that will help us to work in more cooperative ways, that will seek the benefits for everyone who is involved.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about Christmas with Mark Putnam, president of Central College. So you're suggesting that we need to engage in a thoughtful way with people different from ourselves. We all watch the same news channels or listen to the same news channels we want. We rally around people that are like us. We reinforce each other's message. And we encounter somebody new and different. We, you know, are repelled sometimes. We don't want to interact. And so you're saying, in the Christmas spirit, to help heal our country, we need to engage.
Right. And so finding opportunities to enable that discourse to occur, it can be done by what radio stations help us to think and consider and see. By raising those questions. It certainly happens on a college campus. where all the time we are trying to facilitate that conversation. People have asked me from time to time about the things that separate humanity or campuses or ideologies or religious affiliations or whatever it might be. And they say, you know, what are you doing about that, or what should you do about that? And I say the role of a college president as a community leader is to facilitate that discourse, is to facilitate the tensions and bring them into the same place. Because I had a professor years ago in graduate school who said, interaction creates likability and likability creates trust. So unless we can find ways of restoring that discourse in society, then I think we will continue to pay the price. The notion of dysfunction in communication, or you know, whether it's in families or communities or even in churches sometimes, that the dysfunction occurs because we stop listening long enough to really hear what someone is saying. And so you can see this in a family that is having challenge with a communication pattern, that they've already decided what the other person is intending before those words are ever finished. Or we rely too heavily on electronic communication in written form, which doesn't always communicate emotion and gesture and nuance of language, and can sometimes be perceived as terse or divisive in a way that is really not the intention of the writer. There's nothing in my view that can really replace human interaction about important ideas.
Well, at the beginning of our conversation, I think that we were sort of going down the path of maybe too much commercialization of Christmas. But then as you were speaking, I'm thinking that maybe the role of the gift becomes a center point, becomes an offering to that person. Let's say maybe the brother-in-law, I get along fine with my brother-in-laws, but maybe the brother-in-law I don't get along with, and if I draw his name or he mine, that offering in the gift allows that, helps facilitate that conversation.
Yeah, and I think also, think about this, you probably get stacks of Christmas cards. Mm-hmm. Most of us do, and they're nice. Yes. Often you'll see the picture of a family, a friend, and relatives, and that's really fun and kind of catch up. Sometimes people put family letters in. But every once in a while you'll get a card that has been crafted. Someone actually handcrafted a set of cards by the way they unfold, by the kinds of mixed elements that are put in there, or an original drawing or something. And you look at that, and while you might spin through the stack in order to see, well, who sent me a card? And you run through that fairly quickly. And then they stack up, and then you eventually find a way of disposing of them, because the sentiment has been communicated, and that's what it's intended to be. But there's some that are put out there that actually communicate something more, that this wasn't a transaction. I wasn't just on a list, and a stamp was applied, and something was dropped in the mail along with 200 other people. But it actually brought something of the individual forward and the expression of their care. And in doing that, we communicate differently. You feel differently when you make that card and when you receive that card. That, to me, is the representation of it. If it's the gift for someone else that you're bringing, it's the easiest thing in the world now, because we're in a transactional frame, is I'll get a bunch of gift cards for people. They can get what they want. Mm-hmm. And it's functional.
Yeah.
It's efficient. But you wonder where that takes you over time, because does it eventually reduce? How far will we go? Will we actually go one day to sitting around the Christmas tree when everything is simply scanned to transfer accounts, and we sit together holding hands around the Christmas tree and we pass a scanner around and give each other credits?
That sounds terrible.
Right, because it's inauthentic of what it actually is intended to be. But you can get there. And the giving experience is like that, that I think it has to be relational, not transactional, which is the thing I talk about more than anything else these days. In what we do educationally, this is a community of relational learners. It's a human enterprise. There are plenty of educational things happening these days that are transactional. Check the boxes, get the credits, amass the courses, and then you get the credential. Just slip your credit card here. Mm-hmm. that can't be in the long run in service of society, because we will degrade the quality of what we are doing as humans with each other. And so the gift that we bring of a professor spending time with a student just because, or a student reaching out to another student, or a neighbor connecting to a neighbor, those can't be replaced. And it is the lifeblood of the entire society. And if how far will we go? We pursue that question again. Will we further isolate behind gates, behind walls, relying on artificial communication, losing the humanity? So you see, you can look at Christmas and still see the elements of humanity in the Christmas we celebrate today. I think it has dissipated over the 30 years that I'm thinking back over as someone who reached adulthood 30 years ago. The kid part of it is always magic. But when you think about coming into adulthood, rediscovering the humanity of Christmas and the original messages and why things developed over time is, in fact, the rediscovery of relationship. And if we can do that, society will be forever transformed.
Well, this will air Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas, Mark.
Thanks. Merry Christmas, Bob. Enjoy the day.
Thanks to Mark Putnam for contributing to the program. And Merry Christmas, everyone. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.